I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees, which is that partnership between rules and relationship. I want to obey your commands. You know, I think that when we get to a place in our faith where we understand actually the truth is God's way is better than our way, we do reach out for his commands and his decrees because we know they are wiser and better and stronger and more sure than our own navigation system. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. This week, I'm sitting with my friends Jan, Marilyn, and Viv. Each of us has a special relationship with the messages of comfort, caution, and confidence we find in the Book of Psalms. This program is part of a series, but don't worry if you're not caught up. Each week stands on its own. If you do want to hear the rest of the series, you can visit studywithfriends.org and listen free and on demand. You can also grab the reading plan and discussion guide there, which has all the scriptures we reference along with a few questions to help you search your own heart through the Psalms. Just type Psalms in the search box on our homepage, studywithfriends.org. God is showing us peace, grace, and love through this special book of the Bible. Let's talk about it. So let's keep talking about comfort. And tell me more. Oh, did I tell you mine yet? Okay, so let me tell you. Mine was all of Psalm 11, but I'm not going to read all of it. I'll just pull out a couple of the verses. But the one that I really appreciate about Psalm 11 is this safety in God, this idea of safety in God, refuge is, what is it? 46:10. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got it now. 46:10. Mm-hmm. Okay. In Psalm 11, it says in the opener is in the Lord I take refuge. And really, it's not that long. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain, for look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright heart in heart. That was to me the section that I keyed in on for comfort, because there are circumstances that can come up against us in life. And then, frankly, let's be honest, there are people that can come up against us in life. And this one to me speaks of the wicked bend their bows, set their arrows against the strings, and shoot from the shadows. Such a great image, right? Like they're in the darkness, and you're trying to stand in the light, and they're shooting their arrows at you. And so in the Lord I take refuge. And it says here that the wicked shoot their arrows at the upright in heart. Now, I'm not saying that I am the upright in heart. I do what I can. I try with God's help. I try to keep my heart upright. But to me, this refuge, safety, that was a comfort to me. A different shade of comfort than we're talking about. Like this was to me like more of a practical comfort. Yeah, emotionally and mentally, spiritually, we have comfort in the Lord. But this one feels practical. Like, okay, as I walk through my life and people are jerks, I can take refuge that God is protecting me from those arrows. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm scrappy. And so I tend to want to fight my own battles. I'm scrappy. Like I'm a little sassy, like a little mouth. Sometimes my mouth will get in front of me if you hurt me, or God forbid you hurt one of my kids. and I find myself struggling with self-control in those situations. So I'm not a person who runs from the fight. I run to the fight. And what's wrong about that is God's going to fight my battles for me. And that is, for me, really difficult because I want to fight it. I want to, and let's be honest, I want to be the author of the takedown. Like, oh, I'll show her. She must not know about me. And this is a comfort to me to remind me that as the arrows come at me and people are stinkers, hurt me or lie about me or my kids, that I can take refuge. And that, to me, that's quite practical. Do you know what I'm saying? This is, some of these are emotional and they all happen on the inside, but this to me happens in everyday life. I need to shut my mouth and let God lead. He has a plan for this adversity. And it's not for me to mouth off and mess up my testimony. It's for him to fight the battle and me to rely on that. So to me, that was a big one for comfort. Mm. Different circumstances, right? And you know what's funny? I'm sure that different people read that and it hits them in a different way based on who they are.
When you talked about from the shadows, there was one verse there that talked about the arrows coming from the shadows. What I heard was, you don't see it coming.
That's good.
And it doesn't have to be a person. It could be a circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a pink slip from a job.
Mm. You're right. You don't see it coming.
You don't see it coming, so it comes from the shadows.
That's good.
But I don't worry. Because
my refuge is the Lord.
Yeah.
That's good. You're right.
A lot of our stuff, you don't see it coming.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to write that. From the shadows. I'm writing in my Bible, so you know I really think that was good. Another one for comfort. Pick the one, your favorite of the next two that you have listed because of time.
Okay. Well, I also looked at Psalm 145. Great minds think alike, Jan. And I, in addition to the verses you read, I went on with verse 17 to 20. Mm. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Mm. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. That's Psalm 145, 17 through 20. And also in the beginning of Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. Mm. He's made us all. He's made the entire creation, and he's merciful with every single one of us. Mm. And he's slow to anger and abounding in love. You know, what a comfort that is, because despite how we try to walk in the way, we all mess up. And he's gracious, he's merciful. And
that's an important comfort.
Yes.
Because aren't we intimately familiar with our own shortcomings?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. I'm so glad you brought that up. There's a lot of that in the Psalms.
Yes.
David was very aware of his shortcomings. I love that about David. He was very aware of it and very transparent about it. He's like, you know what? I messed up again. But you are faithful to me. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, how about you, Viv or Jan? What was of your other two, which one is your favorite?
I liked Psalms 56, and turn there with me. And I liked verse 3. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. 4, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? That comforts me. Because all day long they twist my words, all their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape in your anger. God, bring the nations down. Now, verse 8 talks about a couple of things that I really do love. Verse 8 goes on to talk about our tears being caught in the bottle. Now, I like this. I'm trying to find it in the King James. I have it now in the New Living Translation. But in the King James, that verse 8 says, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? And this just gives me the comfort to know that whatever is going on and I'm crying, the tears are caught in the bottle. And then he goes on, and verse 13 talks about, "For thou have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life."
What a comfort.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And it just lets us have that reassurance. 10 says, "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise." Because one of the things we know for a fact that God is a protector.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ones that gives me comfort is in Psalm 56.
I notice in this one, as we've seen in almost all of them, first it's a plea and thanksgiving and comfort. Again, about my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
But then doesn't he again end up in humility, because he says, "You have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling." Because he's saying, "You deliver me from my enemies, and you also deliver me from myself."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
That's a comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to be delivered from both.
Mm-hmm.
The outside and the inside. Both a mess. Yeah, that's good, Viv. Okay, how about you, Jan? Do you have one more that you want to share?
On comfort?
Yeah.
Oh, comfort. Oh, 119. Oh, I hope I didn't lose it. I had it marked. Oh, here it is.
119 is a long one.
Yeah, it is a long one. 48 to 52. I had that marked off for comfort. Just some comforting verses there. It's just four or five verses there out of a very long psalm that I found very comforting. "I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life."
What is that? 119, what verses?
48 to 50. Yeah, to 50. So he's comforted by what God has already told him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, "Lord, don't forget what you told me, because I'm comforted in that. And I'm standing on it."
Mm-hmm. And this recalls back to what Viv was saying at the opening, because my translation says, I read NIV, my translation says, "I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees," which is that partnership we were talking about between rules and relationship. I want to obey your commands. You know, I think that when we get to a place in our faith where we understand actually the truth is God's way is better than our way, we do reach out for his commands and his decrees, because we know they are wiser and better and stronger and more sure than our own navigation system. So that's a comfort too. Yeah. Okay. Oh, and it could also be classified as a caution, right? Okay. So, and confidence, which I think we all shared that experience that this weaves in and out. None of it exists in a vacuum. I will bring out for my comfort, and I'll tell you again, I said this a moment ago, I wrote down Psalm 139 in all three spots. I took different pieces of it, but, it's my favorite, and I will shamefully plug 139. And I almost have it memorized, but like I couldn't like recite it, but you know how God says, write these words on your heart? He has written these words on my heart through experiences with him. And I recall them quite easily because of that. So I've shared this in the past on the program. I'll share it again. One of the most comforting parts of Psalm 139 for me is verse 5. So it says, "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." And that verse is burned in my brain from an experience that I had when Sophia was 3 years old, and she had a problem with her eyes, and the doctors were recommending eye surgery. She's like, Think about a three-year-old. That's really upsetting to think about a little baby. And this wasn't like laser eye surgery. This was scalpel surgery. So I was a little bit beside myself, I'm not going to lie, thinking about someone taking a scalpel to my little girl's eyes. And I was a little bit, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I was a little bit jammed up in the discernment process. Because I was like, what if we make the wrong call? And she's blinded. Something goes wrong. I was a little stuck. I felt like I don't know how to make this decision. Because she couldn't see well. She couldn't see. Her diagnosis was called accommodative esotropia. And basically what it meant was, it's such a strange phenomenon. Up until the time she was three, her eyes worked together. But at 3 years old, in the developmental process, something happens with the eyes. I don't really even know. You'd think I'd be an expert, but I don't remember. And at about 3 years old, her brain stopped amalgamating the image from both eyes, and she was getting two images. You know, it's kind of a wonder how we have two eyeballs, but we have one image that the brain processes, because the brain sorts that out from the input. I don't see two Jans, I see one. But Soph saw two. So what she would do is she would cross one eye to negate that image. So some people close their eye, but she would cross it. And it wasn't the same one each time. Sometimes it was the left eye, sometimes it was the right eye. And so cute. We still have pictures of her with her little cross eye. So cute. But I'm sure she'd be mortified. She's a teenager now. She'd be like mortified that I'm talking about this, but that's okay. She'll get over it. And so when I tell you we got a second, third, and fourth opinion on what to do about this, because here's the problem. It's not a dysfunction of the eye. It's a dysfunction of the brain. The brain just got its wires crossed and it's not processing the image the right way. So there's a surgery that they can do that keeps her eyes working together so that the brain has to reset itself. You hope. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So here I am in a situation, my husband and I are in a situation where we have to make a decision and hope for the best. I mean, all the doctors were like, we hope it'll work. This is what we do to fix it. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I had no peace. No peace. And at that time, I was more active on the treadmill than I am in this season of my life. And one of my habits was that I would read my scriptures while I was running on the treadmill. And I like a practice called Lectio Divina, which you can find on our website. In the search box, just type in Lectio, L-E-C-T-I-O. And it'll teach you all about that. But it's really a way of reading the scripture and allowing God to really speak to you. And so I was doing that practice on the treadmill. It's recommended that you sit still for Lectio Divina, but let's just set that aside. I was reading it on the treadmill, and this jumped out at me. And I remember understanding that God hems her in behind and before. And he has his hand upon her. And instantly I had peace and I knew what we were supposed to do. And that doesn't always happen. I'm not saying this is like the prescription for how you're just going to have peace, like the snap of your fingers. But that's what happened for me, because I was devoting myself to God's word. And I was saying, God, I just need you to lead me, to comfort me, to help me have peace, so that we can move forward with this, because it was almost a year with all the doctors, you know, and you don't want to let that go too long, because the brain, it needs to reset while it's still young. And so we did it, and the surgery was successful, and I had total peace. Even as we're sitting waiting for the surgery to happen, like, I just had peace. And so I'll never forget you hem me in behind and before. And I'll also never forget that as I read the scriptures, I can apply them to someone else. I can say, you hem Sophia in behind and before. Anytime there's a pronoun in there, you can change it to a name. You hem Jan in behind and before. You hem Marilyn in behind and before. You lay your hand upon Viv. And he showed me that day, and I certainly apply it a lot now. But to me, that was that still to this day is a very comforting. It's a comforting notion to me that he is around me and everyone that I love because he loves them too, and he has his hand upon those that he loves. So that was my comfort one. And then stay tuned for the Psalm 139, which is caution, and the Psalm 139, which is confidence, because I will return to that like a dog who knows where the food bowl is. Okay, so the next piece of our homework was to pull in, you know, I always say scripture, let scripture teach scripture. And so where else in the Bible, this was a wide open question, you guys. It was like, where else in the Bible do you find the truth of comfort? And if you had any specific passages.
Matthew 28:20. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I was in Matthew too. How about you?
I don't know the verse, chapter, and verse. It's in Philippians, be anxious for nothing.
Oh, okay. We need to look that one up too. Mine was Matthew 5:4. Well, I had two. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Because we didn't really talk about that in here. We didn't hit the note of grief. And also Matthew 11:28, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Which is another nuance of the comfort. Comfort is a big, wide tent that a lot of circumstances can come under and a lot of scriptures can come under. Philippians 4:6-7.
Thank you.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thankfulness, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I had that on an index card. I knew that I had it. So it was easy.
So 2 Corinthians 1-5 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ.
Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's Word helps me to know Him and know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out His disciples to preach the Word, He instructed them with this command, freely you have received, freely give. We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print, studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. Let me say that again. No amount is too small. This month, we're hoping to gather 10 new monthly donors. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.